All right, turn back to Matthew chapter 1, where we were this morning in our text, and don't have a lot of time here, so we'll try to move fairly quickly through this today, but pay attention, try to make application, and let the Word of God challenge you today. I'm going to read the same verses that we read this morning, but we're going to focus on a different aspect this afternoon. Beginning in verse 18 of Matthew 1, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." When God moved in time, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son into this world. But God chose to use vessels in his plan. He chose that vessel that we know as Mary. She was a virgin. The virgin named Mary. And certainly because of the miraculous nature of Jesus' birth, in the fact that what was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost, there wasn't a need for a human father in that scenario. But one of the aspects of Jesus' life that the Bible doesn't speak much of is his childhood. And one of the things that is often overlooked, and we don't have details about, is exactly how that childhood went. But because he had a normal human birth, and he grew as a normal human child, his coming into this world was completely normal and human in that aspect. And God's plan was for Jesus Christ to fully identify with mankind. But because of that, there was also a need for someone to provide for the needs of this child. God chose another vessel, Joseph, to be the one to be the earthly caretaker of God's heavenly Son. And it would appear that Joseph would have been just a pretty fairly ordinary man. But we see some things from our text that show us that Joseph had some qualities to him that maybe made him not so typical of a man. You know how you hear that phrase, typical man. Usually it's in reference to being insensitive and things like that. But there's some things about Joseph that make him not so typical a man in that sense. Joseph seems to be a man of compassion, a man of integrity, a man of decency, a man of love, a tender, gentle man. He was a man who certainly honored God. We see that from this text. Joseph was a man who wanted and desired God's will for his life, and he was committed to doing it. We just get a little window, a little picture of Joseph's life, but we really get a taste or a look at some of the character of this man named Joseph, and really see that Joseph was a humble man. And Joseph is, in his humility and these character qualities about him, are reasons why God chose him as a vessel to use for his purpose and his plan. And so, I want us to consider Joseph this afternoon. The title of the message is Joseph, a humble man for a heavenly mission. a humble man for a heavenly mission. And we get this glimpse of Joseph in his life from this passage. We only see a small portion of it, but we certainly see some good characteristics that marked him as special. And Joseph was the kind of man that really and had some character qualities in his life that are things that we should really strive for in our own. And the Lord wouldn't necessarily call us to go through what Joseph went through. But I'm certain of this. I'm certain that God wants to use our lives to bring Himself glory, just like He did Joseph. And so I want to point out some details of Joseph's life that mark him as a man that God could use, and preach on this thought: Joseph, a humble man for a heavenly mission. First of all, consider verses 18 and 19 with me. And we see here the trials of God's will for his life. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately," privately. We see the trials of God's will for his life. Joseph was a man who was handpicked and personally prepared by God for this special task, this mission of being the earthly caretaker of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, though, was not without trials, even though he was handpicked of God. In fact, Joseph faced and weathered some things and even overcame some things that probably would have derailed many other people. When you consider the situation, and anyone who's ever read or heard of the details that, and we know this from studying the Bible, but we understand the details surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, and we realize that his birth was nothing less than miraculous. But at this point in Joseph's life and in the whole plan and the whole scheme of things, Joseph is completely unaware of what God is going to do and wants to do. Joseph is unaware of God's plan for his life ultimately, but he's soon going to discover it. He's soon going to find out this miracle. But that miracle of this virgin birth, it first created some confusion in his life. The Bible says here that Mary was found with child. They were espoused. They hadn't come together. They hadn't consummated the marriage. They were espoused in this betrothal state, which often lasted up to a year. But in that culture, they were considered to be married already. And here, Joseph finds that, then comes to understand that she's pregnant. She's with child. And you can imagine the confusion. How could this be? What in the world has happened? And it caused him to ponder his path and ponder the next steps that he's going to take, because verse 19 says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away." He's considering his next steps here. He's considering the next course of his life. All that he could see at the moment is what was happening right in front of him. Not aware of what God's ultimate plan in all of this was. He couldn't see that. And so you see some of the trials here, or the confusion of God's will in his life. But sometimes life is like that. Sometimes there is some confusion. Sometimes there's some trial. And life a lot of times is like watching a parade go by while you're standing between two really tall buildings. All you see is what's right in front of you and what's passing by you in between these two tall buildings. You have a memory of what's gone already, but all you can see is what's happening here, and you have no idea what's coming next. Sometimes life is like that. But you know what? If you could get up on top of the buildings and you could look down, you could see the whole thing all lined out. But that's where God is. He's above it all. Yeah. But all we see is the window that's right in front of us, and we have no idea what's coming next. Sometimes God's will for our life is like that. And we operate within that window. What we need to remember, though, is that God is not blind, and God is the one who is above it all. But just like Joseph, we are blind to the fact that God is actually working. God is working above it all, and He has a purpose and a plan. Often, our God works out His will in our lives in ways that we can't really even begin to comprehend or imagine. I mean, you can understand where you're at in your life right now. But you know what? Way back then, trying to look ahead, trying to maybe see what life is going to be like, we'd have no idea that we'd get to this place right now, or how we would come to be about where we're at right now. You follow what I'm saying? Our imaginations are not God's. And yet we find ourselves in the position or in the status of life that we're at. God knew all along, but we had no idea what was coming next. And often God works out His will in our lives in ways that we can't comprehend. Just quickly go to Isaiah 55 with me. It reminds us, Isaiah 55 and verse 8, reminds us of some truth here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It reminds us of the omniscience of God here, and really our position. That God's ways and God's thoughts are much higher than our own, and sometimes we can't comprehend all that God is doing. But His plan for us, again, is often not what we would have chosen for ourselves. Remember Job and what happened in Job's life. Certainly not something that he would have chosen for himself. But in the end, Job was reminded and found out that God's ways and God's plans are always the best, even when sometimes they hurt. That's sort of the position that Joseph was in. Had some ideas and some thoughts and some plans for his future, for his life, and then all of a sudden, God is working His will, but Joseph is unaware. All he's seeing is what's happening in front of him, and it's caused some confusion and even some pain for a moment in his life. Remember Joseph in his coat of many colors. Remember his path that he took. His path led from a place of prominence in his father's home to finding himself in a pit, and his brothers hating him, and his brothers selling him into slavery, to finding a place in Potiphar's house, then in a prison. But in the end, Joseph sat in a place of power in Egypt, and it would have never happened had God not first allowed some trial to come into his life. And we read in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 that those who meant all of those things for evil in Joseph's life, God meant them for good. Sometimes there's trial. Joseph was experiencing some trial, some confusion of God's will in his life. But I want you to go back to our text and look at verses 20 and 23, or 20 through 23. And we're going to see the task that marked his life. He was handpicked of the Lord for a particular task, even though he didn't fully understand that. So we find the confusion in verses 18 and 19, but you get to verse 20, and the Bible says, "But while he thought on these things," he's pondering his next steps, "behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Who's he giving that responsibility to? He says, thou, Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. God already had this task in mind for Joseph way back in the very beginning. All of this happened that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. God already had his task in mind for Joseph to complete. And so this task is something that marked his life. And in the middle of this confusion in the life of Joseph, God places a call upon him. God assigns a task to him that many people would have balked at, would have resisted, would have run from. But it was a task that Joseph embraced completely and ended up completing by faith. The task involves some divine revelation. Verse 20 tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and gave him some instruction. And Joseph is told that the child that Mary carries is no ordinary baby. And he finds out that the child that is within her is the very Son of God. The task involves some requirements. Because verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 20 says that the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary for thy wife. You need to marry her. You're not going to put her away, as he was minded to do. So his instruction is that he's not to put her away, but to take her as his wife and ultimately embrace her child as if he was his own son and care for him. Joseph is told to name the child. And he's given the responsibility of caring for and providing for this baby whose name is Jesus. Think about that task for a minute. It's your job to raise and to care for the very Son of God. Think about that. All of a sudden, Joseph is being informed of what God's will for his life is. Right? The task involved some realization, though, because after hearing what is required in his task, Joseph learns the amazing truth here. Because verse 21 says, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 22 says, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The baby that Mary carries is to be the fulfillment of the greatest promise that God ever gave to man. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, God made a promise. And over the centuries, the nation of Israel knew of this promise. Over the centuries, the nation of Israel looked for their coming Messiah, waited for him. They knew the prophecies of the scriptures. And in this very moment, Joseph is realizing that this is going to be the fulfillment of God's promise. In chapter 3 and verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God promised that there was coming a Messiah. There was coming a deliverer. And all through the centuries, throughout the prophets, they look for this one. For thousands of years, the faithful have been looking down the corridors of time, waiting for the moment when God would send his Redeemer, his Messiah, into the world. This was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Throughout the Old Testament years, every lamb that was slain pointed ahead. It pointed ahead to the coming of the one who was being formed in the womb of Mary, who would be the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. All the prophets looked ahead to this glorious moment in time. Look at Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." This was spoken hundreds of years before. Joseph knew of this promise. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." All of creation groaned for the day when this child would come and deliver the world from the bondage and the blight of sin. And then Joseph hears this angel tell him, this child is to be named Jesus. Why? Because he's the one who's going to save his people from their sins. Does Joseph understand all of that in this very moment? Maybe not. And yet God is still tasking him with something so important in caring for and raising the one who is the Lamb of God. God, in the flesh, was coming to live in Joseph's house. What a task! But you know, God has a task for our life too. Something that will bring him glory. We don't always see and know what that is, because all we see is what's happening right now in front of us. But if we're yielded to him, we can rest assured that God is working out his plan and his perfect will in our life. And our duty to him is to simply walk with him humbly by faith until he brings us to that expected end for our life. While we're toiling here today, while we're struggling day to day, God's already gone into tomorrow. God's already been there. He's already got the provision for tomorrow. He's already arranged the path. He's already supplied the need. He's already got the need or to be able to bear the burden. All we need to do is just keep walking. Just take one step at a time, yielded to the will of God, right here in the window that we have. Just take one step at a time, yielded to the will of God. What your will is for me right now. That's how we come to the expected end. But so often we try to manipulate and we try to plan and we try to manufacture all these things that are based on our understanding or based on what we think will make us happy, based on what we imagine is going to be the answer, when what God wants us to do is simply embrace the task of today, right now, one step at a time, by faith. And let him lead. Joseph didn't necessarily understand all of that. And yet God was tasking him with something so amazing. This task marked Joseph's life. This is what we know him for. All we need to do is trust the Lord and hold his hand. That's what Joseph did, really. Even though the task wasn't easy, he accomplished it. Because if we look back in our text here, we're going to look at the last thing in verses 24 and 25, and we're going to see the testimony that measured his life. We see the task that marked his life, but look at the testimony that measured his life. In verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." You know, the real test of maturity is not what a person faces in life. And it's not revealed in what we're called on to do in life. The real evidence of the depth of a person's character is seen in what we do with what we're handed in life. It's one thing to be placed in a trial. We all go through those. But it's another thing altogether to respond to that trial in the proper way. It's one thing to be called on to carry out a task for the Lord, but it's another thing altogether to do it by faith and without question. I'm your servant, whatever you want from me. I want to take just a minute here to think about the testimony that measured Joseph's life. Because in Joseph's response to the trial that he was going through and the task that was handed to him, we're given really a very good glimpse of this man's testimony that actually measured his life. Many men would have walked away from Mary in this situation, but not Joseph. Because the Bible says in verse 24 that as soon as he awoke, the angel came and appeared to him in a dream and told him these things. And as soon as he awoke, the Bible says that he rose and carried out the command of the Lord. There's no doubt that Joseph understood what was going to happen in the community. There's no doubt that Joseph understood that people would be like, shh, 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 and doing all the talking and so on of this young couple. In fact, in Jesus' adulthood, years and years later, decades later, the Pharisee said, "We be not born of fornication," accusing Jesus of being born that way. Decades later, you can imagine what was going on or what would have been going on. But at that moment in Joseph's life, he wasn't interested in what the community thought about him. He was simply wanting to carry out the will of the Lord for his life. And in spite of those things, Joseph sets out by faith to obey the Lord. What a testimony! Amen? It doesn't matter what other people think. I know that this is the Lord's will. And as soon as he awoke, he set about doing what God said to do. It was a testimony of unwavering commitment. Because even when he took Mary into his home, the Bible says that he refrained himself from physical contact with her or a right that he might have simply to obey the Lord. Here's a man willing to bear the shame and reproach that would be leveled against him and against her in the community. He was willing to place his own desires and even his rights aside, and he wants nothing more than to do the perfect will of God. What a testimony. It was a testimony of unfailing completion. Because verse 25, the second part of verse 25 says, "And he knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." This is exactly what the angel told him to do. When Jesus was born, Joseph took that very next step by faith. And he named him Jesus, just as he'd been commanded to do. And from then on, we don't really hear a whole lot about Jesus' childhood, about Jesus' life. We don't really know much about Joseph. But as far as we know, Joseph never faltered. And Joseph perfectly carried out the command of God for his life, the task that God gave him to do. He'd been called upon, really, to believe the impossible. A virgin, his wife, would conceive and bring forth a son. He was called upon to really do the incredible. You are going to raise and care for the very Son of God. But Joseph didn't waver. He did what the Lord told him to do. And again, I say, what a testimony. But you know what? As we walk the road of life, the Lord is going to reveal his plan. And we know for sure that God's plan is to use us for his glory somehow. That plan might be difficult for us at times. There might be some significant bumps along the road of life. But you know what? When we do it by faith, see, genuine faith doesn't ever seek the easier road. Did you know that? That's what we do sometimes. We want the easier path because this is too hard and we're looking for a way out. But real faith and trust in the Lord doesn't seek the easier road. It seeks to follow the Lord, knowing that God's plan is best. Faith is just willing to go wherever God leads, regardless of what that cost is. And real faith says that, you know what, on the surface, this doesn't look very good. On the surface, it might even look like the worst thing that I've ever faced in my life. Still, I know that God has gone ahead of me, and I know that His plan is always perfect. And so the path that I'm going to take is just simply to trust the Lord. What a testimony of a life of faith and obedience Joseph had. He was a humble man picked for a heavenly mission. God used Joseph in the life of Jesus in a powerful fashion. No doubt Joseph was very involved in the life and the training of Jesus as a young boy. God took a poor, humble carpenter and used him to carry out a very important heavenly mission. But you and I are no different. God wants to use us to bring Him glory. What an amazing task. What an awesome task. What a privilege. Amen. God's still looking for special people that He can use to carry out His will in the world today. And I am certain that God is not going to ask me to do what He asked Joseph to do. Ladies, He's not going to ask you to do what He asked Mary to do. But I am certain that He's looking for people who will simply follow Him by faith so that their life can be used to bring Him glory. I know that. People who will take of the task that He assigns to them and follow it by faith, so that God can make something and fashion something that is beautiful in His sight that will ultimately bring Him glory. May we be those kinds of people. Joseph, a humble man for a heavenly mission. What is God's will for your life? Well, I don't really know, Pastor. We might not see what tomorrow is, and we might not see the parade of what's coming next and ultimately what God's will is. But we can know that God's will for me today is simply to trust Him, to take the step of today, yielded to His will. And God will bring us to that expected end. May we be those kinds of people. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for examples like this. And we probably could have spent a lot more time just fleshing some things out in Joseph's life. But the principles are clear here. That Joseph was a humble man. Joseph was concerned about the will of God. In spite of the confusion, Joseph obeyed the Lord, trusting. And we find that the testimony of this man was that he was a man who was more concerned about the will of God than his own desire or his own, quote, reputation. And what a shining example of a man of character, a man of compassion, a man of love, a humble man, a tender man. And You chose to use him in a powerful way. And Lord, I pray that we would be those kinds of people. Simply trust You, obey You, no matter what the cost, and understand and know that You are working a plan in our life somehow that brings glory and honor to Yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good to be with you today. It's a good day, amen? Yeah. All right. Pray for those who are going to Pioneer Home and for the gospel that is going to be preached there. All right. And we'll look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. You're dismissed. Thank you.